Hey, very good afternoon to you guys. Welcome into the program. Kevin Barry is in studio with me. We will get into your calls right throughout the hour. I know a lot of you have been sitting back with questions around Joe Parker's year in 2017, what has played out, what is going to play out, the potential of Anthony Joshua. Everyone seems to have an opinion. I was just saying to Kevin Barry off air that there are a lot of boxing experts in New Zealand now, and that's a good thing because it shows that people care. And the All Blacks always talk about that as well. Steve Hansen, Grant Fox always telling me, yep, they hear the debate around team selection, but it shows that people care. So as I said, keep in mind questions you've got. Part of the reason that Kevin comes in with me a lot during periods of the year is to answer all of this. There have been questions around, for example, Juco taking Joe Ford, about what is the best fight? Is it Lucas Brown? Is he ready for Anthony Joshua? What has happened in 2017? His weight, for example, getting that speed back up there. Is Joe listening to Kevin's messages that are coming through from the sideline during fights? There is a lot to look at. What he's done as well, and thank you, Kevin, for doing this as well. We've got some really, really cool snapshots and photos. Proper photos, which would look awesome, wouldn't they, Sammy, in the old pool room? In the old pool room. They are signed by Kevin. They are signed by Joe Parker as well. We'll give these away throughout the afternoon. So if you've got a question for Kevin Barry, I'd love to hear from you. After 4 o'clock on the program, we will get through a whole lot of issues. Joel Stransky will join us. I was gutted for South Africa. Really gutted they missed out on the Rugby World Cup for 2023. Why? Because France had it in 2007. And I think we need South African rugby to be strong. We'll talk to Joel about the frustrations around all of that. World Rugby again, potentially the old boys network, back and forth. Steve Dixon, who is a Kiwi living in Lima. So what was it really like over there? He was helping facilitate logistics for the All Whites. Was it as bad as it's been made out in terms of the way they treated us? We'll chat with him as well. Robbie Farah, out of Lebanon. He's an NRL player, as you know, grand final winner, formerly with Benji Marshall, West Tigers. So what has he made of this World Cup from a second-tier perspective? Out of Lebanon, they take on Tonga. In about 2 hours' time, we'll have a chat with him, Shane Richardson, out of the Kiwis as well. How we find a way to make the NRL clubs say, yep, we want to support International Rugby League. Shane, of course, not just the manager of the Kiwis, but very much immersed in South Sydney as well. We will get into Challenge Vici this afternoon. A lot to get through between now and 6 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin Barry, trainer of Joseph Parker, is next. If you have a question for Kevin, the lines are open right throughout this hour. As I said, this is your opportunity. Fight fans out there, what is it you want to know about where Joe is at and where Joe needs to be over the next 12 months or so? KB in studio, the lines are open, 0800 80 1080. As I said, all callers in the draw for these fabulous photos signed by the WBO champ, Joseph Parker. Kevin Barry next.
It's the sports show that never misses a beat. Beach on Sport.
Righto, guys, let's take you through the last 12 months before we bring KB in. So there was a fight against Andy Ruiz, of course, which won us a world title fight. That was December last year. Razvan Kajano as well, the big fella in town. This was May 7th, 2017.
For your winner by unanimous decision, and still the WBO heavyweight champion of the world, Lupe.
So that was the fight on May the 7th. Again, some concerns about the way that he dealt with that fight. Did he put him away? These are just questions that people have been asking. We move forward now to Huey Fury, 24th of September, a fight that really had bugger all build up as far as Manchester was concerned. And we know that Huey Fury became a very, very difficult target for Joe.
And still,
wow.
WBO heavyweight champion of the world.
White.
From South Auckland, New Zealand.
We have another
Joseph
seemingly
Parker.
Close competitive contest, as we did with Golovkin and Canelo last week in Vegas. And we have another 118-110 scoreline that seems to people ringside, Barry, wider than they were expecting.
It seems ridiculously wide.
Righto, so that was the fight against Huey Fury. Now there is speculation today. Joe Parker's come out and says he wants it. Game on as far as the fight against Anthony Joshua. March or April next year, Kevin Barry joins us in studio. Afternoon to you, KB.
Tony, good afternoon, mate.
I thought you were actually going to punch me at one stage when I was... I mean, honestly...
Hey, there's still time, mate. Kev, it's early. Early in the hour, Tony.
I saw it, Kev. I saw there was a little bit of an aggression, a little bit of the vein popping. There are a lot of questions, though, Kevin, and I guess where I'm coming from, and I always like the fact that you do front up and you do come in studio. It hasn't been... I guess, a great year for Joe in terms of the way the public feel about him, in terms of the way the fights have played out. Is that fair?
Well, I tell you what, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot worse if we had lost the WBO heavyweight belt. You have to look at the positives that we've had this year. We've defended the title two times. We were supposed to defend it here against Huey Fury, as you know, in May. We arrive into Auckland after an eight-week training camp, only to get the news that day that Fury had pulled out, which was our worst nightmare, and that's what we actually were thinking he was going to pull out, even though they told us, no, they're definitely on the plane. So, you know, we had no option either to cancel the show or the fact that Joe had done that work in camp, he wanted to fight. When you are the champion, you have to fight somebody who's ranked in the top 15. The only person available happened to be, and who was fit and ready to go, was Razvan Kajanu, who we had had in camp.
Problem is, though, because people don't really understand the inner workings, even for us in the media, we look at this and go, who? The public go, who? Does it really mean a lot? And that's what I find myself. And how many times, KB, have you and I done chats post a fight? And I've gone to you, right, Kevin, where does this now leave your fighter? What does this mean for your fighter? And often I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tony, if we had said, okay, Huey's pulled out, let's regroup, we'll rebook that fight, Joe would have had one fight this year.
Yeah.
Okay, well, and that would have been really criminal. Joe was ready to fight. He said, please, let me fight. I gave him the option, actually, for that fight. I said, mate, I don't want it. I've seen too many guys come unstuck by taking last-minute replacements. They're in a different mindset. We've trained for one particular style, and now we've got another style in front of us. Mate, if you can pull out of this fight. He goes, I want to fight.
Right. Is the fight game, and we'll get on to Anthony Joshua. Everyone, I'm reading through messages on Facebook now, on text, KB, at the moment, 9292. If you've got a question, as I said, the lines are open, 0800 80 1080. A lot of people obviously want to know if this fight is going to happen. Also talking around where Joe has got to in terms of the career this year, in terms of where he's at as a boxer, and this is a common thread that is coming through. Where's the killer instinct gone from Joe? The ability to put guys down?
Well, sure. We've fought a couple of difficult styles. The one in May, Kajanu, is a guy who knew Joe inside and out. He had sparred over 100 rounds with Joe. He was there to survive. You know, it's very hard to knock a fighter out if he's trying to survive. He had his hands up around his ears the whole fight. Good on him. You know, he showed huge determination to stay in there. But, I mean, it takes two guys to fight. You know, styles make fights, and exciting fights are when both guys are throwing and exchanging at the same time. Now, the Huey Fury fight was always going to be a nightmare for us. I hated that fight from the very first minute that it was mentioned to me, and the only way we would have ever put Joe in the ring with Fury is for a mandatory defense. For a voluntary, not a chance. We never would have fought that style. It was a horrible style for us, and the fight worked out that way. But the thing is, there was only one guy fighting in that fight, and it was Joe came forward for 12 rounds. Fury backpedaled and ran away for 12 rounds, landed a half a dozen punches. You couldn't possibly win a fight going backwards for 12 rounds and you don't land anything.
How tough is that for you, Kevin, to be in the ring, on the side of the ring there, doing your job and knowing this is a hideous fight for you, lad?
Oh, really tough. And the thing is, you've got to stay focused. You know, I knew it was going to be a horrible style. I'd walked Joe through it many, many times. But there were things that I think sort of Joe lost his focus a little in that fight. He got frustrated. One thing that Fury did very, very well was he's very good at tying up and he's very good at surviving. There were two or three times in the fight where Joe hit him really well and his eyes rolled back in his head, but he was able to survive. So, you know, I give him huge credit for that. The kid was undefeated.
You mentioned about Joe sometimes, and I go back to a fight a few years ago, which was at the Waitakere Event Centre or whatever it's called out there, and again, he sort of got into a street brawl, and you were incredibly frustrated. Are there still moments where Joe loses the game plan a wee bit that you've given him?
Joe is not the finished product. Joe's still the youngest fighter in the world top 10 by about 3 years. You know, we've come a long way in the last 4.5 years, and it's been a tremendous success story, you know, getting him to win the WBO world title. A belt that early in his career, nobody gave us a chance of winning. Joe will keep developing and improving. We're a long way away from the finished product.
Joe Parker, we are spotlighting his career, Kevin Barry as well. We'll get on to Anthony Joshua, I promise you. Has there been a shift in the way that they're promoting Joe and using Joe to try and do this through the media as well? We'll talk about that. The lines, as I said, are open, guys. 0800 80 1080. I'm going to take a lot of your questions for KB via Facebook and text as well. You can text us 9292. Tony, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon to you both. Kevin, I've got a question for you. It's slightly off topic, but it's not if my question is answered the way I think it may be. Okay. Is I heard that Tyson Fury was retired from boxing and was not going to come back. But then I heard from somebody else that he is starting to make a comeback.
Yeah, he's in.
I wondered if you knew anything about that.
Yeah, this video's out, isn't there, KB, of him back in training?
He's back in training. In fact, the photos I saw of Tyson during the week, you know, he's peeled off quite a bit of weight. And I think this time he talked about coming back over the last 12 months, but it was a little premature and he put more weight back on. But now I really believe that he's serious about his comeback.
Has he got the ability? I mean, we've seen it in the past, KB. We've seen guys, I mean, that's been the history of boxing, hasn't it? Guys making comebacks. I mean, you look at him now, he's a big unit. He's put on a lot of beef.
But he's a big young unit.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he's still, I think, 28 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's got a lot in front of him, and he has the style to upset and frustrate any of the champions. And let's remember, he's undefeated. When I say he's big, he's like 6'9".
Oh,
the guy is a friggin' giant.
Mate, he was in your press conferences, and you could see him on the seat there. He's about 3 foot taller than every other bugger
and
in there.
And I tell you what, he's been a really great supporter for Joe.
Yeah, how did that relationship with the photo came out of them post that fight against his cousin? And I'm just going, and all of us are going, hang on, that's cousin of who's sharing a pint with the bloke who's just beaten them.
Right. You know, we've always gone backwards and forwards with him over social media for the last couple of years. And when we actually got in front of him, there was a lot of mutual respect. Tyson, in fact, mentioned to us just prior to me coming to New Zealand that if Joe fought Wilder or Joshua, he would love to come into camp with us.
Wow. And
that's that sort of support.
What's the general feeling? I know this maybe sound like people are going to go, oh, this is a patsy question to Kevin Barry. But what is the general consensus of the fight community about Joe, do you think?
Oh, Joe has a lot of respect in international boxing. You know, his name is getting out there more and more all the time. You know, you saw Michael Buffer come out this week saying, you know, Joseph Parker's very underrated. That's, you know, this will be a good fight, him and Joshua. People in the boxing world know that it's a good fight. It's a style that will be an exciting fight.
Let's get on to the big news. And as I said, Joe is reported across most media this morning that he wants it. He wants a 40% cut. It's game on. He's ready for it. Where are we at with Joshua in March next year?
Well, I don't know about March or April. You know, in fact, you know, David Higgins has done a pretty good job in the last couple of weeks negotiating with Eddie Hearn. And, you know, now both fighters are involved as well. Joe wants this fight. I believe Anthony Joshua wants the fight. It's just making the business make sense now. You know, there hasn't been a heavyweight unification fight for 6 years when Vladimir Klitschko beat David Hay in a 12-round decision. So, you know, these unification fights don't happen all the time in the heavyweight division.
Why is Joe doing his own bidding here, KB? Because I think about this, is that Joe's stuck away from, you know, the boxing BS, which you and I often talk about. All of a sudden now I'm starting to see Joe, you know, as I said, a bit of banter between him and Joshua on Twitter. Now we're seeing Joe coming out in the media a lot saying, I want him. Is this a considered plan of you guys to make this fight happen?
Look, most definitely. And look, the perfect example I can give you, Tony, and the viewers, you know, when Conor McGregor fought Floyd Mayweather, He didn't make $100 million by being respectful and polite to Floyd. Every opportunity he had, he insulted him. He abused him.
Yep.
Okay? It sells pay-per-view.
But is that Joe Parker, though?
The people that know Joe know exactly what Joe's about. And you have to differentiate between, you know, the real Joe and the Joe doing business.
Because I'm not sure, I mean, this is just me. I have got to know Joe really well, and I like the bloke, and you know, I'll tell you the story again. He was up at Bucklands Beach, and he just got into his car, Kevin. And this sums up Joe Parker to me absolutely to a T. Just got in his car, and one of my besties was there with the kids, right? And said, that's Joe Parker. And one of the little kids yelled out, Joe! Got out of the car, stopped the car, got out, went and had photos, sat down and talked to them.
That's Joe.
I mean, we're talking about, I don't know many sports people And I'm talking about All Blacks, cricketers, all of that. Not taking anything about those guys who would do that. Get out of their car and go and spend time.
Joe does it every day.
Correct.
That's the guy.
So that's my concern. I don't want to see him move away from that person, become the manufactured Joe.
That person will always be there.
But do you
There is a difference about what he's doing at the moment. And yes, we need Joe to talk in the media.
So do you need
it's nothing about the New Zealand media. It's all about the British media.
Does he need to trash talk though, Kevin?
I don't think there's a lot of trash talking. You know, what he's saying is, hey, I want the fight. I back my own chin. I've never been down in the amateurs. I've never been down as a professional. I've never been dropped in the gym ever. Okay, against Anthony Joshua, who's a great, great fighter. A fighter who's actually brought the excitement back into the heavyweight division. The heavyweight division's been dormant for the last 10 years.
Yep.
Okay, and now it's got its punch back again. There's, you know, Deontay Wilder, 39-0, 38 KOs. Joshua, 20-0, 20 KOs. You know, last two fights in front of 78,000 in Wales and 90,000 in Wembley. The guy is he's a money magnet. He's brought the excitement and the hype back into the sport.
If I was to say to you, in a perfect world, Kevin Barry, you're going to map out now your next round of fights for your lad, Joe Parker. Would it be Wilder or would it be Joshua? That's what I'm confused about. I mean, even Lucas Brown's names have been put in there. We'll talk about him as well. But if you were to say, in my perfect scenario, this is how it would play out, what would that be?
Joe wants Joshua. You know, if you remember, 2 years ago, that was our next fight. And, you know, we had watched Joshua for the first 2 years of Joe's career. And they had watched us, and there was plenty of talk, but neither guy had a world title belt. And everyone knew that fight was going to happen at some day. And the perfect scenario was, what about if they both win a world title?
Yeah.
And then we put them together. Well, that time is here. Joe wants that fight. And I'll tell you what, the last fight for Joshua against Carlos Takam put a bit of perspective right back into it. You know, Joshua had, he won the fight comfortably, but he had a lot of trouble with Takam, with Takam's movement. And let's remember, this is the Takam that took that fight on 12 days' notice. This is the Takam that Joshua said after Joe went 12 rounds with Takam, I'll knock him out in one or two rounds. You know, this Takam came to New Zealand knowing he was fighting Joseph Parker with a 3.5 month camp. It puts
Telling me then maybe the hype around Joshua is not justified? Is that what you're saying to me?
I tell you what, there are a lot of flaws there. The guy puts bums on seats. There's a lot of things about Joshua's style that Joe likes. There's a lot of things about Joshua's style that I like.
Righto, well, look at that. We'll get to a break. At the moment, it is 3:24. Kevin Barry is my guest on the program. As I said, I have a truckload of messages and posts and questions to get through as far as my Facebook is concerned. As I said, the lines are open, guys. 0800 80 1080. If you have a question for Kevin Barry, please do. Something I have not picked up on. This is your opportunity. You can text us 9292 as well. More from Kevin Barry very shortly. I want to look at the Joshua fight. Kevin says Joe wants it. Is he ready for it? I know Chris Myrams, who was in here before, as Kevin knows, a massive boxing fan, thinks that Joe's not ready yet, thinks he may be a year away from that. We'll talk to Kevin Barry about why they believe Joshua and this fight is good timing for Joe. More to come next. It is 3:28. We'll look ahead to Rugby League World Cup quarterfinals. Robbie Farrell will join us out of Lebanon. The Tongan supporters as well, not happy about their airport arrival tomorrow. They've been banned from Auckland Airport, but also they now have a fan zone. We'll talk about that this afternoon as well. We'll take you to Limaparu to Steve Dixon, who was a Kiwi over there. Were we mean and nasty? Did you follow this, KB, about what the Peruvian fans did to the All Whites over there? So basically they made sure, imagine this for a boxing
fight. They were going to get no sleep.
Well, they did that. So no. Fireworks at 2:51 in the morning, a military jet fly over at 7 a.m. in the morning, right, where they did the old Top Gun, you know, went past, yeah. And then to cap it all off early on, they made the bus go at 35 k's an hour and right, then diverted their flight to Chile to make sure they were held up for 4 hours.
My God.
I mean, you guys must see
it's clever work though, isn't it?
Do you guys ever suffer that a wee bit when you go
and,
into the...
And who won the game?
Yeah, they did.
Right.
Yeah, but okay, they were better. But do you ever suffer that as well? Do you ever find that where when you're in foreign territory, when you're back at home, everything's done to cater for you, but do fight teams make it hard for you away from home?
We made, like for instance, this last trip to London and Manchester, we didn't allow them to do anything for us.
Right.
We did it all ourselves. And that way we're in control of what we're doing. They said, we've got a hotel for you. You know, we've got guys picking you up and transporting you. No, thank you. We'll take care of ourselves.
Your room's by the bar and it goes until 3 o'clock in the morning. Exactly. Yeah, Thomas, good afternoon to you, sir.
Yo.
Thomas, you're on. Go.
Oh, cheers. Yeah, my question is if you still believe in Anthony Joshua's weakness that you guys say he exposed in his last fight.
No, not so much in the last fight. I think there's been, you know, there's definitely been some flaws there in a lot of his fights. He's very stiff. He's very robotic. He's also extremely big and extremely powerful and has a sledgehammer with his right hand. But there are openings in his defense. There are also chinks in his armor. You know, Joshua's been knocked out in the amateurs. He's been knocked out in sparring. He was dropped by Klitschko. You know, we know that his chin is not as good as Joseph Parker's chin, and that's what we like. And when the two of them are firing heavy blows at each other, I back Joseph Parker's chin.
Righto, let's go through some of the text questions here for you, Kevin, then we'll move into Facebook, as we do in this multimedia platform. Ken asks, are you serious, Kevin, that Joshua is... Are you serious, Kevin, Joshua is streaks ahead of Joe, says Ken.
Okay, well, Ken's allowed his opinion. Ken can be an expert about boxing whenever he likes. Like, I think that... You know, you have to have a look at who Joshua's been fighting. And sure, he's been doing a really nice job with the people in front of him. Why do you think he's not fighting Deontay Wilder at the moment? Because he doesn't want that fight. You know, he looks at, you know, and now after his performance with Takam, taking that fight on 12 days' notice, you know, I'm sure that he's thinking twice about fighting Joe.
Righto, next one. Ask him about, would you want drug testing for Joshua at all?
100% every week.
Really? What do I read into that?
No, well, look, you know, he's a I shouldn't be so critical there, because he is one guy that apparently gets tested a lot in the UK. But there will be, you know, they're obviously we're fighting for a number of different world title belts. There will be drug testing for sure.
One here, again, comes back to size. A lot of people asking this, KB, have you got his weight wrong in the last couple of fights?
Yes.
By how much?
At least 10 pounds. You know, as I mentioned before, this is not the finished product. And what we've done is we've made a few changes. Some of them have been good and some of them not so good. And, you know, to be completely honest, the last two fights, Joe's been, you know, we've had, what should I say, the last fight was the cleanest he ever ate in camp. But I think it's, you know, it comes down to Joe. I'd like Joe's sweet tooth not to be so sweet. You know, he needs to be a little bit more disciplined now. With carrying that extra size, you know, we had an idea that we're going to be fighting big guys. We wanted Joe to become a little bigger. He put some size on. It slowed his foot speed down, which in turn slowed his hand speed down, because it starts and finishes with the feet and finishes with the hands. Mm. So if the feet aren't working fast, the punches aren't being delivered as fast. So, you know, Joe and I have had several conversations about this, and the next fight will be back in the 30s. We won't be in the high 240s. I want to see Joe fighting around 106, 107.
Are there times, Kevin, and you have a great relationship with Joe, but are there times that he does disappoint or frustrate you if he doesn't meet the criteria or the goals you have set him?
Well, he's not perfect. No one's perfect.
Exactly.
You know? And, you know, I make mistakes as well. And I'll be the first to say that. You know, Joe is still developing and you know, we're still fine-tuning him. And I do want to see him, I want to get that speed back, I want to get that output back, and against someone like Anthony Joshua, I need that hand speed, it's so important.
All right, Derek, afternoon to you, sir.
Yeah, Kevin, look, I have no real complaints. I mean, I've never coached I've never trained a world champion heavyweight fighter, so I think you're doing a terrific, terrific job. I personally don't understand the criticism that Tony's reading out from these so-called experts. I don't think they know what the hell they're talking about. But I believe, and I just want to ask you this question, I believe Joshua's making the mistakes. Does he want to be a bodybuilder or does he want to be a fighter? I mean, if you look when he gets injured, or he's been hit against Klitschko, he was well past his best by that time, straight right hand. He seems to be lacking the upper body movement. And you're right, he's easier to hit. He even got hurt against Dylan White. I believe that Joe goes up against him. A straight right hand would be the weapon to take this guy out. I think he's overhyped. He hasn't been 12 rounds yet. And as far as Wilder goes, the guy is barely 99 kilos. He's too small to compete against Joe Parker. And I would suggest, and I'm not being facetious here, I think Wilder's no better than ranked second or third, and that's in Alabama. What do you think?
Hey, I tell you what, you've got a lot of very, very good points there and quite astute. The right hand is going to be very important against Anthony Joshua. He's got a cannon of a right hand, but I think, I tell you what, when in fights like this, if Joe was to pull away from him and be moving backwards, it would play into Joshua's hands. You know, we have to step to the fire. Joe has to step to Joshua, and then we've got to back our hand speed and our right hand against his. So I think that is a very, very important punch in that fight.
Derek, so look, while we've got you, and to point out, I'm not sure, KB, but Derek is probably the most passionate boxing fan we have on Radio Sport News Talk ZB. So you're thinking then, Derek, if this fight was March, April next year, you would be, and this is a message to all fight fans out there, and there's a lot of people, as I said, Derek, who have an opinion now about Joe Parker, that this would be a fight that would suit him, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, Tony. I get very disappointed when I hear some of these so-called New Zealanders. I don't follow Joe Parker because he's born in Auckland and I'm from Auckland. I follow Joe Parker because I follow the heavyweight division. I think he's a real good fighter. And I haven't seen anything from this guy, AJ. I heard Chris Myrams talking about him like he's his long-lost friend and calling him AJ. This guy has done nothing for me. He's done absolutely nothing, and Wilder's done even less than nothing. And neither one of them seem to want to be able to fight each other. And you know, like obviously Joe's had a few problems. They've had the last two fights has been down to Peter Fury and his camp, these mandatory challenges. But Joe, unlike these other guys, has been in tough fights against Takam, where he had to show steel, he had to show metal. He was hit and he had to come back. Those guys haven't had that. Joe's had more 12-round fights recently than these guys, and they've been tough fights, Tony. The last Wilder fight was an absolute joke. I know he was a replacement. I know Stiverne was a replacement, but he didn't even want to fight. And they were lauding this guy in America as the next George Foreman. And it was terrible. And I look at all these crowds that Joshua was bringing in. Yes, it's good for boxing, but I don't think he deserves that. And I think a lot of these British media, apart from Steve Bunce, I think Steve Bunce has said some great things. He's the best British boxing commentator out there. He says more intelligent things than a lot of those media people in Britain put together. And he actually appreciates what Joe Parker brings to the ring. And I don't see anything out there from Joshua in particular, because obviously Kevin will know that's where the money is and that's where they want to go. I don't see anything coming from Joshua. All I see is a guy who's forgotten what boxing's all about. He seems to be more of a celebrity. And Oscar De La Hoya went down this road a couple of years back and it destroyed his career.
Righto, Kevin Barry, your reaction to all of that from Mr. Derek.
Derek, it excites me when I hear passion in someone else's voice, and I can tell you're a real fan. And I appreciate all the things you said about Joe, and I also respect the comments that you made about AJ and Wilder. One thing about I can tell you about Deontay Wilder, he does hit really hard. In fact, I've for the last 12 months, and I've looked at everyone who he's fought, and in fact, I was showing Tony the rankings before, the top 10 fighters in the world, and if you actually look at it, there's no one in the top 10, whether it's Wilder's fight or not, he hasn't fought anyone there. Joseph Parker's beaten two guys in there, Andy Ruiz and Carlos Takam, and still people doubt him. Derek, your comments that you made today, we've got a couple of 10x8 signed by Joseph Parker for you, mate, and I've got the WBO world title badge that he wears on his shorts, also signed by Joe, if you want to come and pick him up, mate.
Thank you very much.
Good on you, Derek. Thank you very much. Well done. More calls to come, and I'm going to rock through a whole lot of your Facebook questions as well. The question I have for Kevin Barry next after the break: if they want this fight so badly, why does the money matter? 40%, 35% cut of the share against Anthony Joshua. Just bring it on, because if Joe wins this fight, we know it will change the game for Joe Parker, for Duco, for Kevin Barry forever, because he becomes a unified world champion, and then the world, as they say, is his oyster. If you have a question we've missed, 0800 80 1080. As I said, I'll get through lots of your texts and Facebook messages next. Kevin Barry in studio. 3:42. We'll talk to your weights after 4 o'clock. Quarterfinals, a Rugby League World Cup as well. Lebanon, $30 a day, Kevin, they get to play in the Rugby League World Cup. It's a game changer, isn't it? $30 a day, that gets you a meat pie and a bottle of V, and that's about it. As I said, we'll get through more of your calls as well and more of your questions to come. Peter, you're calling all the way from Salt Lake City, United States. Evening to you, Pete.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Mate, I'm well.
I just wanted to mention I met Joseph Parker in Papatoa. He's a good LDS boy in the Mormon Church. Good, that's where he learned all his upbringing. But I just wanted to say, I don't think he'll be fighting Joshua. I think he'll be fighting Luis Ortiz. I think Luis Ortiz is the next cab off the rank for Joshua, I think. And I just think Ortiz is a better fighter. He's a beast.
All right, Kevin, response, go.
Hey, Luis Ortiz is a beast. Very dangerous guy, southpaw, very experienced, great amateur. But he's also, his last two fights, he's looked pretty slow and pretty old, and he's like 38 years old now, and I think time has actually caught up with him a little bit. He's been suspended twice now for performance enhancing drugs, just got his license back. I'm hearing that he may fight Povetkin at some stage. I don't think he's going to be fighting Joshua, and I know that Wilder's come out, and Wilder was supposed to fight him a while back. But then he tested positive, and Wilder said, now that he's got his license back, I'd like to fight him again.
Dodgy, dodgy, dodgy. Larson, good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Very well.
How do you plan on Joseph Parker getting inside and not getting tagged? Because I'd say that his head movement's not really that great, and the other fighters are quite a bit taller than his.
He's a couple of inches taller, yeah. I tell you what, I think Joe's head movement is very underrated. And there will be a lot of head movement, and there will be a lot of mobility in a fight against somebody like Anthony Joshua. You can't stand there in front of him. You've got to keep turning and moving the big unit around all the time. You know, you have to make his robotic style even more of a robot.
Let's get on to some of the Facebook messages. Larson, thank you for your call. Ken Brown writes, leave the money out of it and set up a fight with Anthony Joshua. If you think the Parker has what it takes to win, then just make the fight happen. That's kind of where I'm at. What's the difference between 40% and 35% of the overall purse?
5%.
But you get my point. You're getting a crack at unifying the belts here, Kevin. Yeah. He wins this fight. If you believe your guy can win the fight, he is going to make a truckload of cash on the back of that.
I do believe he can win the fight, and it doesn't come up to me to accept any percentage on that fight. Like Duco, Dean Lonergan and David Higgins have invested a lot of money in Joseph Parker in the last 4.5 years.
But 5%, Kevin?
Before there was any return, they had spent $2 million before they started getting anything back. You know, this is a big business, and this is a big gamble and a big investment. And the business side of it has got to be taken seriously.
Where would this fight likely be then?
Oh, it's obviously
any indication.
It has to be in the UK.
Oh, no.
You know, Joshua's the draw over there. He sells huge stadiums.
Correct. So are we talking the potential of Parker Joshua at Wembley, for example?
I'd like to think so.
Do we know if those discussions have even started on a venue, or are we
we haven't. Not with the venue. We're trying to agree to terms, and the negotiation has been going very well in the last 2 weeks. You know, David Higgins is in constant negotiation with Eddie Hearn at the moment.
Let's say you get the wish, 60-40, which is what Joe said publicly this morning as well. I mean, do we have any idea what that payday would be like for Duco, for Joe, for all of you guys? I mean, I'm thinking inside Wembley Stadium? The last two fights, I think Chris Morams is saying to me, he's pulled in 170,000 fans between Cardiff and London. 40% cut, that is massive money.
Yeah, it's huge. Personally, I don't think we'll get 40%, but we've got to make sure we get a lot more than 20, which was the original offer.
Well, what's Eddie Hearn like, his manager like to deal with, who's been kind of laughing you guys off as being little hick boys from New Zealand?
And that's why we're negotiating with him properly. That's so he's not just, we're not going to be these guys that Eddie says, I'm going to give you this bag of gold, and you say, thank you, Eddie, thanks very much, like most of the guys who fight Joshua do.
If this is going to go ahead either way, right, when would this likely to be locked in? What are we now? We're November the 18th. We're getting into that Christmas period. You need to know what you're doing with your camp, i.e. are you taking on Joshua March, April next year? When do you think it'll be done either way?
Look, I don't really know, but I tell you what, I think things are progressing pretty well at the moment. I'd like to think within the next 2 weeks we'll have an answer of whether Joseph Parker is going to be fighting Anthony Joshua first up next year.
A really good question from Brett Desmond on Facebook. He says to me, and I love this as well, how much has the boxing game changed from your time with David Tua in terms of preparing a guy for a fight?
The actual business of it's pretty similar. In fact, I tell a story that I was far more involved with the negotiations with Tua than I am with Joe. Joe's got a management team here. He's got a team of lawyers and accountants, and he's got his promotional team.
Mm.
I'm privy to the conversations and everything, but that's not my decision. When we fought Lennox Lewis, we'd just taken Tua away from main events and put him with a company called America Presents. And while he was with main events, they offered him, they said, when you fight Lennox Lewis for the title, you're going to make $1 million. And I thought, over my dead body. And then when we started negotiations after we'd left main events with America Presents, they turned around Lewis's camp, offered him $1.5 million. And we said, no, we'll go to a purse bid. It's a mandatory fight. We'll take it to purse bid. Long story short, that they said, you won't get one more dollar than $1.5. And you know what we settled on, $3.75. So it's a process.
Yeah.
So- and I'll tell you what, and I sat down with Salah and Dempsey last night having dinner, and I just said to them, look, I was trying to walk them through what is going on at the moment, and I said, look, I know Joe deserves to be paid. I know that this is the first time in 6 years there's been a unified heavyweight title fight with two champions. I know that when Charles Martin, who had no names on his record, sold his belt to Anthony Joshua, he got paid $5.5 million. Joseph Parker is twice the fighter that Charles Martin is. Joseph Parker also brings the WBO heavyweight belt with him. But I said to Mum and Dad, I said, I believe that there is some good business to be done here, but one thing that we have to be prepared, that it doesn't happen and they take another direction. And rather than taking what's on the table now, you lose it.
Are you ever going to write a book about your stories of inside the boxing world? I think it'd be fascinating.
Been asked a few times, Tony.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, because this is part of the reason we find it such a weird and wondrous thing to support, because nothing surprises us about the fight world anymore.
Right.
I mean, is that the same for you?
I tell you what, I think the New Zealand public, they came along on the ride with David Tua and they learned a wee bit about world boxing.
Yeah, they did.
And so I think they're accepting it a lot more now. And hence you said before, there's a lot of experts on boxing in this country at the moment.
Yeah, it's great. Brett writes, has Joe ever really been hurt in the ring, and which of his fights thus far has had you most worried when you've been ringside?
Well, I tell you what, the when he got his eye cut fighting for the New Zealand title against Arthur, the referee, it was a bad cut, and the people who saw that fight, will know it was a bad cut. His eyelid was hanging down over his eye, and the referee came over and said, Kevin, I've got to stop the fight. And I went, no, you're not stopping the fight. And he says, Kev, I've got to stop, look at his eye. I said, you give me one more round. I said, now you give me a chance to close this cut and give me one more round. I said to Joe, when we come back, I said, look, you're out there swinging wildly. Set your punches up. You've got one round to knock this guy out. And he went out, set him up and knocked him out.
Wow.
But little things like that early in his career told me that, when pressure really came on and he had to perform, Joe could.
You mentioned about not being the finished product. Anthony asked this, what is the one thing that Joe needs to work on? The one big thing.
There are several things we're working on. I need him more mobile, because I think a mobile Joseph Parker is a very hard target to hit. I want Joe to get back to throwing, 50, 60 punches around. And to do that, we need to be a little bit lighter. I want Joe's hands up a little bit higher. So these are things that we're working on all the time.
Okay, as far as you're concerned, so we look at 2017 to wrap this conversation, Kevin. Yeah, it could have been better, but as you said, it could have been worse as well. So do we feel like you're going to look back at 2018, we're going to look ahead to 2018 and go, this is going to be a game changer for Joe?
Well, I think we've got some fantastic options coming into 2018. And the biggest thing that we need to do at the moment is not to panic, but to spend a bit of time making these deals and doing them properly. And as a team, I think we're all on the same path. And I think 2018 is going to be a huge year for Joseph Parker and for boxing.
Well, I tell you what, if you get Joshua over the line, the build-up to that is going to be monumental. I mean, we're talking at the moment, Kevin, and we spoke about this off-air, about how well New Zealand sport is doing. We now have a driver in Formula One. We've got an Olympic program which is delivering medals en masse. You look at all sorts of other sports. If we have Joe fighting Joshua in 3 or 4 months' time, that will be huge.
It's going to be huge.
Huge.
It's going to happen, Tony.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Can I mark that down? 3:52, November 18th. Sam, you recorded that audio? Mark it down, ladies and gentlemen. KB, always a pleasure to have you in studio. Enjoy your time. What, you got about 4 weeks left in camp over here, yeah?
Yes, I have, mate. And just while we're talking about camp, can I just give a shout-out to Sean Hughes and Brad Jones, two of the guys that are supporting me and supporting Joseph a lot with this training camp.
Good on you, boys, and well done for doing that. And lovely to see you as always, Kevin.
Thank you very much, Tony.
That is Kevin Barry, and that is the end of the Spotlight Hour as we look at the life and times of Joe Parker. We're back soon, 7 minutes away, 4 o'clock.